Good morning. It's hard to see everybody on the lights.
Morning.
My name is Olaf Hubel. I'm on the Excel team. I'm going to be presenting today with Danny.
Yeah, I'm Danny Hodder. I'm also from the Excel team at PM.
So today, let me see, we have a kind of a packed agenda. This is the first time I'm going to do one of those 45 minute session ones. So I'm trained to do the longer times. What we wanted to talk about today is really quickly just the world is changing. That's kind of a, hey, what's new? Just a couple of slides. We try to do as much demo as we can today. But what we're really going to do is just talk about business analytics in Excel and kind of the natural flow of how data goes through it. And you see the steps here on the screen, basically the green bullets. And each green bullet will go in and we'll do a demo. Show you what we mean there and just talk a little bit about it. Some tips and tricks, things like that. So let's start with the first couple of slides. So the world is changing, data is everywhere. I think one of the favorite quotes that we got in there is like, we talk to a lot of companies around the world. There was this really large company once, and the IT people came up to us and they're like, I don't know what's up with our managers, but they keep saying they want answers based on data. And they're like, what is this? And so we're like, yep, that's the world is changing. Everybody now has access to data, a lot of data, and so you want to be able to really get answers from that data. And so that's why you see Excel being the most widely used tool in the world for BI, right? Even if you don't know it, you're actually in Excel doing BI and working with that tool, getting some really cool insights, being able to connect to a host of things. And so today we're going to show some of the more advanced ways of working with Excel and how you can really get a crazy amount of rows in there and do some really cool tricks. Danny's going to do a really cool demo of how you can get some really dirty data to come in and clean it up and how to actually make that repeatable so you don't have to do it every time you want to look at your data, for example. The other thing we'd like to mention really quick is we're constantly improving. So thanks to Office 365 and the new model, how we're able to push updates out with a subscription right away. We really are constantly listening. So the team that we're in, we actually do the scrub for user voice. So if you have any suggestions or you see things that you think should change or you see bugs or stuff like that, please do go to excel.uservoice.com. Let us know. Every Tuesday afternoon, the whole team sits down and we scrub that. So if we see enough people upvoting issues or we see something that is trending and it's a real bug, we'll jump on it right away. We'll start working on it. That's why you see constant updates coming out from the product and constant improvement. So we really do need your feedback there. In the olden good days, we would just think of like, what is it people want? And we would fly around the world and talk to some customers and figure out what the trend might be. We don't have to do that anymore. We also use data. So we have a crazy amount of data coming back in from telemetry.
I'm actually have a theory or a way to explain this, that I was back in the early 2000s, I was in the office product planning team and working for Excel as a product planner. And imagine if I, let's say, in 2006, would hear an idea to add something to Excel, a great idea, and I would be very enthusiastic and go to the team and convince them this is the greatest thing and we should add it. So 2006, a year before the release of 2007, no features are going into the product, so it's not a question about 2007, it's about the next one. So the next one is 2010. So remember, from 2006, I heard the idea, I convinced the team, let's say 2010, it's gone. It's out there. Companies, on average, take like 5 years to upgrade to the next version of Excel. So if the version came out in 2010, let's say 2015, a company adopt, or this person who gave me this idea, see this in his screen for the first time. It's almost 10 years since he first told me about this idea. In this new world, this is crazy. Talking about 8, 9, 10 years, it doesn't even make sense. Nowadays, in theory, if we hear something or we read something in user voice and we really think it's a cool thing, we can implement it in a couple of months, take a couple of months more to go through the rings of validation and within the company, and realistically, within 6 months of this person asking or we catching up on this idea, it could actually be on the screen of someone using Office 365. So it's a really, really big change, and we're very excited, and we really want everybody to jump on this wagon and get these constant updates.
Yeah. The other slide I was going to talk to really quick was Better Together with Power BI. Today I'm not going to deep dive into Power BI. There's a couple of other really good sessions. Actually, yesterday there was a really great session on Power BI and Excel Better Together, and I demoed the whole thing. Today I will show something about how to get data from Power BI into Excel. So in this session we're going to stay in Excel altogether. But the important point that I wanted to drive home here is that the back end, actually a lot of the things that we're going to demo as well, that back end is created by the same engineering team. So Power BI and Excel share the same code base there. So things that we're going to show you, how you can work with data and how you can clean up that data, works exactly the same in Power BI and the other way around. The other thing that you'll see, you see a connection here between Excel and Power BI service in the bottom. So they just released a new feature where you can now say analyze in Excel. So you can be in Power BI, click on a data set and pull that data in. You can also be in Excel itself and now say, hey, I want to get some data from Power BI. That one I'm going to show today. And then pull that data in there directly. And it's, for me, is one of the most powerful things, right? Because let's say this is the full circle, really, of information to me. Let's say you're an IT department and you have a really large data set and a bunch of information from different departments, and you want to send that out to all your users or everybody in the enterprise. So in Excel, you can work with that data, you can look at the data, you can clean it up, you can analyze it, do some quick analysis on it, and then you're like, I want to publish this into Power BI. So you put it in Power BI. They now have the option to do filters on there by groups, security groups, and things like that. So you can actually say, hey, marketing can only see this subset, sales can only see this subset, and then it's out there. They can now see it. Marketing can just simply go into Excel and then say, I need to get that data into my Excel sheet. They look at the Power BI, but they can only see the subset of data that you allowed them to see in the first place. And they don't have to know the connection. They don't need to know that you're looking on an on-prem database and you're using a gateway or, you know, whatever it is you're doing, or you're merging multiple databases together, it doesn't matter. All they have to do is just log in and simply look at the data sources they have. And then they can work with that data in Excel again. So I'm super excited about it because it really round trips how you can work with it.
Yeah, and the important thing is that people are coming to me many times and saying, which one should we use? Should we see Excel, we see Power BI. We are familiar with Excel, but Power BI looks so nice and so exciting and so on, and the visualizations are great. And because of this being able to connect from Excel to data in Power BI and vice versa, it's not really a big choice that you have to make up front, and then you go either one way or the other. It's, first of all, everything you learn technology-wise, well, is the same. You learn about DACs, you learn about using the data model, relationships, using the tools to clean the data. It's the same technology, so you can reuse it anywhere. And then if it lives in one side, you can actually use it on the other side. So you don't have to think so hard about which way to go when it's a critical decision for years and so on.
So let's jump into some of the demos. So we'll walk through each of the sections here that we have in a natural way it's really jumping back and forth. There we go. So generally, this is how people walk through their data flow, right? If you kind of have a natural flow. Now, in a real life scenario, you would totally go from consume to analyze and back to publish and then back into visualize. You know, and we know people jump back and forth all the time, but we had to have some flow for the presentation as well. So this is kind of the natural way, right? So we're gonna look at how do you get data into Excel and how can you clean it up? What can you do with that? Then we're gonna look at like, how do you actually analyze this data? What can you do there? Visualization is next, and then publishing, and the last one is consuming your data. So those are the big steps that we'll walk through in demo. So with that, Denny's up first with Power Query.
Seven,
yes.
All right. So first of all, before we do the example that I wanted to show you with about cleaning the data, who here have heard about Power Query or used Power Query? A few people. Not too many. Power Query was an add-in or is an add-in that was released in 2010 to work with Excel and to import data into Excel while cleaning it and so on. It continued to be an add-in in 2013. When Power BI was started, Power Query was one of the founding members of Power BI, so it's actually part of the Power BI desktop tool. And in 2016, Excel 2016, we actually integrated Power Query inside Excel. So you might look into Excel and say, well, where is Power Query? Well, Power Query is now integrated into Excel. It's not in a DIN anymore. And actually, you can see there is a chunk, what we call in the tab, the data tab in Excel. You see a chunk that's called Get and Transform. And all the functionality of Power Query is found here. So nothing is gone away, nothing is lost. And we actually keep getting the new bits from Power Query periodically. So as they keep adding new features to their technology, it's a separate team, it's not the Excel team, but we get from them the bits. And every few months you will see new features coming, new connectors, new capabilities, and so on. So from the Get and Transform, you can start queries. Like you see here, there are different categories of sources that you can use. They can be files. For example, files would be Excel files, CSV files, text files, and so on. A very exciting option. Whoop. Very sensitive mouse here. Is going against a folder. You see there's a from folder, which allows you to go against a folder with any number of files, could be text or CSV files, and they should be in the same format, but that's assumed that every month you get one, or you get one from every subsidiary, you put them in a folder, and then you go against the folder, and you combine all the data very easily. So, and then there are databases and web and Azure sources, a wealth of sources. The example I'm going to do is actually not any one of those sources because I'm going to use the data that I already have in my Excel workbook. So this is another option, and this is called from a table. The data is in a table in Excel. Is this table that you see here that actually has only one column, and you see data here that not coincidentally is very, very dirty and difficult to use. The reason is that it was created specifically for a competition on using Excel and giving as a challenge to people, this is the data, you have to clean it and then use it in some computational model. It has data that you see on the left side, there's time and date with all kind of extra characters just put in there to make it difficult. And then there's a number that represents the power consumption for this hour, for this date, in kilowatt hours. So that because this company, this utility, has different rates for different hours and days of the year, you have to know what was the time, what was the date, and what's the consumption. But as I said, it's difficult to use. In Excel, it's about, for a person that's really good with Excel, it takes about 45 minutes to create all the extra columns needed with all kind of complex formulas to clean it. But I'm going to do it with the Get and Transform, or what used to be the Power Query technology. So let's start. I click on the From table, and what I will see is an editor. This is the Get and Transform, or the Power Query editor. It pulls in a preview of the data. Not all the data, because in this case, it's a 9,000 rows table in Excel, but it could be a 9 million rows table in the database. And we're now going to apply steps to cleaning it gradually, but all the steps will be applied on the preview, and then only when I'm done, I'm going to say, okay, I'm done, and I want to run the same series of steps on the real data set, and then I will also tell it what to do with the data. We'll get to it. Okay, so I'm starting. First thing I want to do, I want to get rid of some extraneous characters. For example, there is a lot of underscores just peppered in just to make things confusing. So I'm going to choose the option to replace values, and I'm going to say, replace the character underscore with nothing. So it applies it to the preview, and now I don't have the underscores anymore. Next thing, I want to do the same for the word KWH, which is in the end of each row, and I also don't need it. So I say KWH, go away, replace it with nothing. now I have this a challenge to split this string into two parts. There is a part that has the date and time, there's a part that has the number at the end, but there's no clear way to separate it. Usually you separate, you split data by a delimiter if it's there, or you split data by a number of characters, say the 25 first character of this, and then there's 10 more characters for this or so on. But here it's kind of variable. There's no special character and there is no number of characters to split. So there's different ways to do it. I will do it by saying I want to replace the value. I know that this data is from 2014, so I will just take advantage of that. Although if I wanted this to be more robust and to be working for years to come, I cannot rely on the 2014. I have to do it in a slightly more difficult way or more with additional steps, but for now, let's do it this way. So I'm replacing 2014 by 2014 and the pipe character. Once the pipe character is there, I will use it to split these two things into two parts. And I'm using a delimiter, and the delimiter is a custom delimiter, and it's actually, not surprising, the pipe character. Now, of course, I'm doing it because I've did it many times before. So the real way you will go about it is you'll do trial and error. You try something and it wouldn't work, so it will take more time to do it for the first time. So I have to admit that. Now, let's look at what's happening on the right side. On the right side, actually, the tool is collecting the steps as applied steps. You see here this list of steps. And this actually what will become eventually the query. And the query will be stored within this Excel file. And then every time there's new data and I want to run this again, I can just go to the query, click refresh, and it will apply this series of steps sequentially one by one and get to the end result again. And we'll see this also at the end. Okay, now I have this part. And I can try and actually already extract from it the date and the time. So I can say I want to add a column, and I want to add this column as a date, and I want you to parse the date from this. Now, I know this will not work perfectly, but let's do it this way because it's more realistic. I don't know yet. Let's assume I don't know yet that there's another issue here. So, it worked for some rows, it didn't work for some other rows. The reason being that in some cases, some rows, you see the first one has 24th with a TH dash, and this TH is actually preventing the tool from recognizing that this is a valid date. It doesn't know that someone might write 23rd with an RD or 20 and so on. So I say, okay, I can leave this, creation of this new column, and I can go back to the past. And here I always say that it's like, remember the movie Back to the Future? I go to the past, I change something in the past, and then I make sure that my parents will actually get hooked, and then I'm sure that I'll be born in the future. So this is something like that. I go to the past to fix something so that the step I already did will actually work correctly. So here, I'm going to get rid of this TH and all those extra characters that I don't want. Now, I get a warning that I'm going to insert a step. And inserting a step is kind of a delicate thing because you might do some damage to the... Here, it's all for the good, but who knows? I could be doing something stupid. So I get a warning, beware that you are changing the past. So I'm saying RD dash... replace with dash, and I need to go and do this four times for each one.
So while he's doing that, the other day I actually got a question from an IT pro with a bunch of SharePoint server logs. He's like, it would be so cool if I could look at my logs and actually find the GUID number and instantly see what services were affected by that. Like normally you have to go into another tool to do stuff like that. And so I did the same thing like this. We dropped a bunch of CSV files. Actually, it wasn't CSV files, but we dropped a bunch of the text files from the logs into a folder, and I just told this tool to look at that folder, and we started pulling everything in. I did a little bit of cleanup and then put it in the data model, and we were able to deal with millions and millions of rows, and we used your search, we typed in the GUID number, and you instantly had nice little charts that show which services were impacted the most by this error, stuff like that. It's super cool, and then what Danny will show you at the end as well is that once you've done all this, like it's a little bit of work right now, right, what you're seeing, but from now on, you never have to do it again. Every time you refresh this data or you drop more files into the folder or your database gets larger, whatever, it does this. It keeps doing all that cleaning for you right away. And so you'll see how this shows up in Excel a little bit later. But it's just, I joined the team like 8 months, 9 months ago from the 365 team. And I didn't know about this, like most of people here didn't raise their hands yet. This blew my mind. Like from now on, this is all I do. Every time I use data, I throw it through here, I clean it, I automate it, and then I use it in Excel. Like I used to do, you know, large rows and try my cleaning manually.
Now notice that after I finished my four replaced values and I went back to see, I clicked on the last row, I see now that all the errors are gone because I made sure that these extra characters are no longer there. And actually now we can also go and add a column to extract the time. Parse the time. And here I have the time. So basically I'm done. What I'm going to do now will come as something not intuitive for every Excel person, and this is to go ahead and delete this column. In Excel, you cannot just refer to something and then go delete the row or the cell or whatever it is that you're referring to because it will break the expression. But here, it's different. It's just a series of steps. So once I already used it to break it into this pieces, I don't need it in its original form. So what I maybe want to do now is just rename this column that will say this has the kilowatt hours. Oop, okay, small. And now I'm going to step off telling it where to go. So I'm going to run this thing, where do I want it? By default, it wants to go into an Excel table. And this is actually for me, in this case, this is what I want. But in most cases, when I do something like that, I want it to end up in the Excel data model. And actually, we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves because Olaf is going to talk about the Excel data model, also known as the Power Pivot model, also is the same as the Power BI model. Because if I have, for example, more than 1 million rows, it's my only option because it cannot fit in Excel. And there's very good reasons why actually to put the data directly into the data model and not to an Excel table. But here, in this case, this default is actually working for me, so I'm saying load. And now it will create a table in Excel. You will just see it, and it will go, and you see under it's finished, and you can see that it loaded 8,760 rows into this table in Excel that has the number for kilowatt hours, the date, and the time. There were no errors, everything is good. And just the last thing I want to do, I want to go to the original table that has the usage. And in the very first row, instead of 0.384, I'm going to write 9.99. So it will be very easy to recognize once we refresh the data. So now let's assume this is next month's data or something, it's new data. The query is already here, so I just go here and I click refresh. Loading data, done. And in the first row, you see that it's 9.99. So it took the data again, ran through all the steps, and brought the data. So that was my demo. In reality, you can pull data, each query can pull data from a different source. Then you can actually, with Power Query, you can also combine different queries between themselves. You can merge them and like do a join between tables. You can append queries to add rows, take from one source and then add more source from another. There's lots of what you can do. When Olaf will show you the available resources, you'll see that there are courses that I created on a platform called edX, edx.org, and I explain and I show quite a few examples about that. I will recommend you to check it out. Back to Olaf.
Thanks. So, like I said before, to me, that really is the killer thing. Like, if you want to take anything away from using Excel and use a lot of data in a really easy manner, that really is it. Which brings you to the next step of, you know, what to do with that data, like Danny said. Put it in a data model. Like, from there, it's going to be so easy to work with really large sets of data. even smaller sets of data. I actually throw everything in there. It's just easier to me now. That's my standard process. So what you see here is like if you don't use Power Query to use this data, basically you had to automate things, right? You had to walk through it with a little macro or something like that. And so if you use a Power Query, you can just sequence it all and you can have it work automatically. Now, this kind of goes to what we mentioned earlier. We're constantly innovating. So here you see some new data sources for 2016, and this list is actually already outdated. So it shows SharePoint list in here, but we also have SharePoint folders now. And like, there's a lot of new things that we constantly keep adding here for pulling your data in. Now, I'm not going to walk through all those, but if you know Excel, you can basically get to everything. So in the next part, we wanted to go into a Power Query and show you a little bit what you can do there. Oh, sorry, next. I jumped ahead. So in the next one, we want to go to Analyze, sorry. And so now that we have done Power Query, what do you want to do with that data? You put it in the data model. We use Power Pivot to actually start looking at it. And the other thing I'll show you is how you can do forecasting on that data. So real forecasting, not just a little trend line, but actual something that looks at real data and tries to figure out seasonality, things like that. So here you have the data model, or known as Power Pivot. I'm going to show this in real, but this is what allows you to work with Excel for crazy amounts of data. Like I mentioned that the SharePoint log files, I think we ended up with like 16 million rows or something in there that we had to parse through. I think it was about 2 hours time frame that we were working with. Like anybody here that works with SharePoint knows how the log files blow up like crazy. So it was super cool. I mean, honestly, we did it in about 10 minutes and we were able to really drill down on what the issue was. So let's do a demo of that. Not of the SharePoint one, but that was confidential data. And I wanted to show it on stage, but I wasn't allowed to. So here I am in just a demo file that I have with a bunch of data in it, a couple of tables and charts already in it. So first, let me just show you what data I'm that I'm working with. So if I show my show queries. So if I click on show queries, here you see some of the rows. So I'm not going to go back in, right? This is what Denny just did. But here you see I have a 5.8 million row data from Azure and a couple of small rows that I'm using. We pulled in some data from Facebook, 1,600 rows. So that's the data that I'm going to be working with today in this demo. So first, let me show you what that looks like in the data model. So here you see the different tables that I have. We customized it a little bit. We actually added a calendar table to it. So if you want to do your physical year a little bit different than normally it would work or stuff like that, you can actually make a custom calendar, which we did here. And then we have the different databases connected to each other, the tables connected to each other. You see that I haven't connected budget yet, even though it's supposed to be connected to those. That's on purpose. I'll come back to that in 1 second. And then here I can look at the data view. So you see all the data that's in those. So if I look at that, the actual, so here you see the 5.8 million rows. I can just scroll through that. I can work with that. I can add columns to here, calculated columns, so you can actually do some calculations for that row. And then you see some of the other ones. But what is even better than calculated columns, or well, you need both, but this one is super cool, is the measures. And so in here, I can start writing measures, little formulas that actually calculate across this. And you'll see in a second when I'll go back in Power Pivot, but this really allows you to do calculations.
Zoom.
Oh, you want to zoom in? I'm not used to that one. There. So here I have my measures in the bottom. That's where you write your formulas, and then up here you see what that looks like. Now I showed this to Denny, and he instantly went like, "Well, that's old because in 2016 we have a better way of writing this formula. That's way easier."
Yeah, but DAX is a language that was designed to be like a natural step for people using Excel formulas. And it's true, at least in the beginning, a lot of the, like 80 some Excel functions were actually implemented in DAX, but then there's a lot more. And you can start gradually and you can dive into it and go really deep. There are very good resources to learn it. People who wrote that thick books just about DAX. One of the famous authors is actually here, Marco Russo, is in this conference. And also my courses, and so I really recommend to spend time, if you go into this, to take some serious training in any one of the forms that is available on DAX. So here, this is kind of a medium, beginning to medium level of dogs, but it can go deeper and deeper, and not just because you want to just be fancy, but because it can solve complex business questions and give you answers that were not possible to do without it.
So the reason measures are so cool is because if you're in a table, right, you have a pivot. So for example, here you see my budget, it's calculated. So it's, $4.2 million. Sure, I can go into Excel and just say, you know, sum the column or things like that. But once I start slicing and dicing this data, if I would have just calculated a column, that's all I have. It's the total. The measure will actually auto-update based on my filters and my slice and dicing. So if I say, well, show this to me based on a country or by a quarter of year or whatever you want, you can actually make a whole big grid that shows it in 10,000 different ways. It will instantly calculate that for all those different views. And all you have to do is write the formula once, so you don't have to make it smart to filter. And
for example, this formula specifically will help us in showing year-over-year comparisons of the sales. So this one returns, actually, if you slice on the slicer on 2016, this function will give you back the sales for 2015 for all the same filters that are applied, but for the previous year. So by having the sales from previous year, you can already compare this year to previous year, calculate percentages, and so on. So this is one of the things that you can solve easily with the DAX.
So let me go back into the diagram. I showed that we don't have a connection between budget table and the other one. So I go back into the grid itself. So here I have an actual sales table, a pivot table. So I call this up. And here you see I have a couple of fields. One of my favorite new things in 2016 is that I can actually search. So I just type in a budget, and it filters out everything right away. And I want to add budget to it. So I'll select this. Adds a new column to it for budget, and you see that it's actually wrong because it doesn't understand yet that there's a that there's a relationship with any of the other data. So it just simply shows the same data. Now Excel is now smart enough to actually say, I think you're missing a connection here. You might want to set one up and, you know, tell me what the relationship is. And so I can click on auto detect, and it will go out and start looking at the table and the information that we have, and it will start finding that information. It takes about 30 seconds, I think. So here it did the first one, and now here it's going to find, and it should find two, if all the demos work well. There it goes. It found two relationships. I can close this, and now you see that my sum to budget here is actually showing correctly because it understands that relationship. So if I go back in here, you see that I created that. Now, obviously, this is a super easy table, and I could have done that myself because I clearly know what data was supposed to connect to what. The point that we're trying to make here is that Excel is nice enough to let you know that you might have made a mistake somewhere, that it feels to Excel that there a connection was needed to do that. So the next demo I promised was forecasting. So let me jump into that one right away without actually going into slides. That's a new one in 2016 as well. So here we have a row with a whole bunch of data. You see, based on dates for t-shirts or polo shirts, I can really pick any one. But if you click on the data tab on top, we now have this forecast sheet button. So if I click on there, it will instantly do a forecast on it. You see that it has an upper and a lower bound already. I can go into my options. I can set the confidence that I want, if I wanted to detect the seasonality, or I actually know what the seasonality is. Maybe it didn't pick up correctly, so I can override that. You can do a couple of things like that. Now, this is really cool for people like me that love click and publish right away and have my chart. But if you want to go a little bit deeper with this, you can click on here and go create. And what you see is that it actually created a...
What you just dismissed, I went to point at...
Well, I was going to show it.
Okay.
I just dismissed something where it gives you a hint, which was the story I was getting into, is that as nice as this is for me as a click and point right away, now I have a forecast. This is an actual formula. So you can go to the bottom, and there we go. So this is where the forecasting starts. So if I click on here, you actually see on the top that we have forecast.ets, but we also, the other ones have then the upper and the lower bound. So I can change everything in here. What that means is that it's an actual formula in Excel, so you can use it in your data in any way that you like. You don't have to do the little chart that I just showed you that is, you know, for a quick forecast, but you can really start calculating with this. Now, to prove that to you, if I click out here, I can actually drag this up, for example, and so it forecasts back into time. So we'll go back into time again. If I zoom into that, you see it was actually pretty good in forecasting the actuals that it did there. But the coolest thing that we tried to show there is that it's a formula. All three of them are formulas, so lower bound, upper bound as well. And you're able to really work with that data. And another, that was what the little pop-up showed, right?
Yeah, no, I wanted to point at the actual mechanism of this pop-up, which is also a new thing of this app teaching, that we, in certain places, we show you this hint of what just did happen and explain to you. So this, and maybe the tell me, if you can just, there's a not directly related to the topic of this session, but I just wanted to point to this other tool, which is now also available, tell me, in which you just can describe, say something about you, what you want, and it will take you directly to the, you don't have to look for it if you don't know where it is in the ribbon. You just say something that you want, and it will actually, or you say table, and it will create a table, and so on.
Yeah, it's really cool. The other ones, the little pop-ups let you know what is new. So if, you know, you got an update, but you didn't actually know you got an update because 365 just streams that to you. You can also click on File Home, and there's a What's New button. And that refreshes pretty much every week and also shows you the latest and greatest what you can do. So going back to the slides. So I showed the forecasting. Here's the actual formulas that you can use for that. So you can set your seasonality, the time series, all those type of things. It's really well documented online as well. I'll wait for the gentleman who's taking a picture. All slides are, go ahead. All slides are also shared, so you can find the recording and the deck as well. So you can copy and paste them from there. I already did the demo for that. So let's go into the next step, visualizing your data. Now, I'm not going to go to all the charts and things like that, but here we quickly wanted to highlight that we keep innovating, and we also keep innovating on charting. So here you see some of the stuff that we did in 2013 and then what we added in 2016, like a tree map, which I really like, but actually I like the sunburst better. That's kind of how I visually think about it. The other one I love a lot is the waterfall. A lot of people, once you get more advanced in your data, like Box and Whiskers, which is really cool. I actually applied Box and Whiskers to all the speaker scores the other day in here. It was really interesting to see what you can learn from that. And then back to the point where we keep innovating. The one that you see in the bottom is Maps. That's actually a new one. I'll show you that one in real time. So let's get to that one. That's one we released Monday, I think, right? Yep. So last Monday we added Maps. To it, let me, I don't have my map one open. Forgot to open one file, there we go, maps. So I have a special file for that. I already imported some data that's in there, so I'll walk through it. But basically, maps, what it allows you to do is you type in any data like you would expect. So here I have the United States home listings, or median price per state. And so if I want to make a nice little map from that, I'll select my data, I go to insert, and there you'll now see maps. Now this is different than 3D maps. So 3D maps is really about creating a really cool animation where you can fly over the world and in time see your data change. This is more like a normal, the charts and things like that, where you would really just, you know, visualize the data. Where did it put it? There we go. So here in the bottom you see it has, I selected a bunch of states in the United States, and so it was smart enough to zoom in and make the United States pop up and nicely color it. I can change the colors, I can do everything you would expect with charts, right? So that's really cool. If I would filter this out and I only go to state level, let's say California, I would zoom in and only show California. Now, I can also do this across the globe. So here we have China, for example. So I can get Chinese data in there as well, including written in Chinese, so it doesn't have to be written in English. So if I do that one.
Maps is actually using Bing Maps to get the data. So it depends on a service that runs in the cloud and adds all kind of intelligence to the search. It's not just simple search.
Yeah, this one is way advanced. Like, I can go through this, I'll run out of time, but I have ones for the US where it actually goes at city level, but it plots it against the whole US, like a beautiful little graph you get. But you get the point. I can get data from anywhere in the world, and, you know, I can actually go in here and say, no, I want to see the world but only highlight the data of China on there, or I want to zoom into a region, stuff like that. And we'll just keep doing it for you. And then you can copy paste it into PowerPoint as a live connection and actually have a beautiful graph that really shows your data on a map. Now, there's some other ones I mentioned. So if I go to insert, we also have the tree map. We have the star bars. This data doesn't make sense for that one. But I already mentioned those, but just to make sure I won't run out of time, I'll skip over those. But you know, I'm guessing most people that work with data understand what those look like and how they would function, right? And so here, then we're in the last section. I'm sorry I rushed through that last a little bit, but I wanted to make sure I came to this one. So publishing and consuming your data, which obviously is super important, right? Why do all this work and then have it be stuck on a file that only you can see? You know, hopefully you save it in OneDrive for Business, so at least it's in the cloud and you can use it on all your devices. But let's, you know, I'm assuming you want to actually share your data as well. So the first one is publishing your data. So obviously you can save your file into SharePoint, OneDrive for Business, or a SharePoint site, and share it from there, and just other people can all look at it and work together on it. I have SharePoint and Office 365 called out separate. Reason I did that was with SharePoint, I meant SharePoint on-premise. Because you can also run this on-premise, and we have the Office services for on-premise as well that will make sure Excel renders. And then you can publish into Power BI as well. So I can actually take my full Excel file, if I've done all that work and I made beautiful graphs and I did all this stuff, and I don't want to have to convert it into a Power BI visualization, I can simply take the file and say publish into Power BI, and it will render in Excel online inside of Power BI, and you can then share it from there. Which is a really nice and easy way to start sharing your data as well. You can also just take smaller parts of your Excel file. Let's say the world graph that I just created. I can simply select that graph and say, pin this into Power BI. And it will take just that graph and we'll put that little graph on my dashboard in Power BI. If I change my Excel file, we'll update in Power BI. You can set up a refresh for that. So those are really cool ways of consuming it. And then, publishing it, and then consuming it, like I said, Excel Online and Power BI are the two ways. Now, what I wanted to demo as my last demo today is how you can work with Power BI data directly in Excel, which is the newest thing that we just released a couple of months ago, I think it was. Three, four months ago?
Yeah, there was some evolution on that. What you're going to show is actually a new addition to this add-in. So this is an add-in that was published, you can download it from the Power BI site, and you can use it.
Yeah, so if you go to powerbi.com and you click on downloads, there's the free add-in for Excel. And so what you get there is you can click in on your profile. You can see I'm already logged into my profile here. I can then select data, and I can pin it, like I said before, and you can manage your pins here. So if you want to delete them or refresh them, things like that, you can go to Power BI. But what is new, what they just added, which I was able to do already from powerbi.com itself and say analyze in Excel, I can now here connect to data. So I'm going to click on that, and then you see my workspaces, so you see all the different things that I have in here. And I say I want to get a report, or I can connect to the data set, and in this case, I'll connect to the one for IT spend, which is just a sample data set that they had, which I quickly put in there. And so I'll say connect, and just that easy, it's can't access the report. Perfect. Something had to go wrong in the demo. Let's see. What am I doing wrong? It's pulling this up right. Yeah, it's loading.
Try to go to the data set. Maybe there's...
There we go. Okay. It works. So it automatically goes ahead and creates a pivot for me. And here on the site, I now see all the data, and I can simply start working with this data. So I can say,
the data set was not, or the data from Power BI was not pooled into Excel. It's only a connection from Excel to this external model that sits on Power BI. If you're familiar with Excel connecting to OLAP on-premise or tabular models on-premise, this is very similar. The only difference is that the model is in the cloud.
Oh, beep. I'm out of time. So that brings us to the last part of the demo. We've got a big buzzer here. But yeah, the point being, I am now able to quickly work with this data. And it looks super simple to me, but there's a lot going on in the background, right? This data could have come from an on-prem gateway that Power BI has set up to my on-premise SQL or whatever data source that I have. Somebody could have done all the data modeling on that, did the whole cleanup, and set up a filter on there.
Why are you pointing to me?
Well, because you did that part of the demo. Somebody could have put up a filter on here already that said, I can only see a subset of this data, and so I can securely work with this data, knowing that this is what I'm allowed to see, and I just work in Excel. I'm like, yeah, I don't know how I got to this, but I know this is the official data that the enterprise uses, and all my filters are correct, and it's already clean, which is just a beautiful way of doing that. So to close off, let me go into, I'll skip over, I talked about that. Those are the screenshots. Like I said, you'll get the deck, so you have those. And I did the demo. That's the wrap-up of everything that we showed. What I wanted to get to is this one. We launched a new Excel community. I'm sure you heard all about the new community here. There's a big area here right in the hall where the community is. On there is an Excel community as well. So we're running a worldwide competition right now for Excel. It's actually really cool, so if you want to join that, you can go there and join in and show your Excel skills off. If you join that, that's where we hang out as well. That's where we listen to people. That's where we have discussions. It's not a support forum. Answers.microsoft.com is the support forum. If you have bugs or issues that you need to alert us about, go to Answers. That's where our support people sit. They escalate the bug right away, and we make sure we check them. This is where we hang out as people together, where we just talk to each other, share our tips and tricks and things like that. So please join that one. And we have hands-on labs for Excel. That you can take. The hands-on labs are actually based on the training that you see right next to it on edx.org. Denny created all those trainings. They're a beautiful place to go and actually learn about DEX and things like that, and get all the advanced skills, get the code samples, and really walk through everything we just did here and learn how to manually do that yourself. And you get to listen more to Denny talk in little videos about how to do that. No, it's a really great course. And then if you really want to get your hands dirty and do that, that's where the labs are there. So if you don't have Excel 2016 yet, use the lab for free. You get 2016 in there, so you can actually play with it, do everything I just showed, things like that. We'll take questions. I have to stop talking here, but please walk up. We'll take questions. We'll be at the office intelligence booth as well. Yeah, and please do the evals, super important. That's what our managers look at. They're like, why did you fly out there? So please let us know if you like the session. Thank you very much.